What's up, y'all? So today is a little bonus content. It is a life update and catch up on what has been going on with me in this current season of my life. I've shared a little bit about how much of the growth has occurred in your girl since 2018, because it has been quite a show, okay? So if you love keeping up with me and my family, I think you'll love this episode. More importantly, I think it's going to really set us up for the amazing content that we'll be officially launching and rolling out next week on a series of solo episodes. So go ahead and dive in, and I will see you guys in the second half of season two next week. You are now listening to The Reminder Remedy, and I'm your host, Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything you got. This podcast was created with you in mind, those of you that want to live the most authentic versions of yourself. I'm located here in Atlanta, Georgia, my hometown, with my husband, Prince, and my three kiddos, Parker, Alicia, and Creed. I love talking all things motherhood, business, especially entrepreneurship, self-care, and all things in between. Let's get into today's episode. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Well, I know for me, it was the easiest thing to rip off the band-aid of procrastination to start getting my message out there. And if you haven't heard about Anchor already, which I'm sure many of you have if you're listening to my show, it is the free tool that makes podcasting for anyone super easy. Like I said, it's free. There are tons of creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. This was a game changer for me because I absolutely had no excuse not to get it done. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so that you can be heard on Spotify, Apple, and many more. What I love about it is that you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. This is a game changer for us beginning podcasters to actually start driving some revenue from putting our message out there. It's really everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back, guys. By the time you are hearing the sound of my voice, I will be in Mexico sipping on something with an umbrella in it, probably with a little tequila in it, celebrating Clochello. That's right, my bestie Chloe L. Chloe Williams is getting married soon, and so her bachelorette party is this weekend as this episode goes live. So shout out to Chloe. I am pretty pumped about hopping on here. So I am currently sitting in my kitchen. I have plugged up my mic, which I haven't had a chance to use since we recorded the birth story episode, because my last few episodes have actually been interviews, and it's easier for me to just use the computer mic when I do those. So if you're wondering why my sound quality sounds legit versus all of the raggedy sound quality I normally have, I'm a beginner, y'all, so everything can't be perfect. But if you're wondering why, it's because I'm using my Yeti that my boo thing got me for Christmas. But I just really wanted to kind of create this bonus episode, I guess, because I know it's been a while since we've connected one-on-one. I think that the last several interviews have just been so powerful. I'm loving the feedback from you guys. So many of you guys have also shot the guests DMs, letting them know the things that they've said. I can't even tell you how many mom-to-bes came on raving about the male white interview. So I'm elated with where the podcast is going. But I also know that y'all are like, okay, but what's up with you? What you got going on? What's in your head? What are your thoughts? Especially since I haven't been present on social in a while. Got about 2 more weeks, y'all, before my 40 days. Come on now, Jesus wept. But I wanted to get on here and connect with you guys because the next two episodes that I'm going to be bringing are going to also be solo episodes, but they're going to be also pretty heavy. If you remember that getting unstuck episode, you know how it was like legit, you need to sit down and write notes. That's how these next two episodes are. And really, it was supposed to be one episode, but I had 20 pages of stuff. And it's just really me digging into some concepts that I think are going to just be shifting for all of you all. And so I wanted to use this bonus episode to kind of get you all ready, but to not jump right into the back-to-back, like, oh, we going there today. And just kind of catch you up on what's going on with me. Since it's been a minute. So let's kick off this episode with some reviews. We haven't done that in a while. So I am over here on iTunes, and that's mainly just because it's up on my computer and I don't have Google Play and all of that stuff up. But we have two new reviews on Apple. And if you get a chance, I would love for you all to go and let me know what you think about the Reminder Remedy. Shoot me some comments. But this review comes from Trina Lacey. It's entitled, Love Your Podcast. Thank you, Trina. She says, I ran across your podcast by chance. Someone posted about it, and I remembered your face from years ago in Tallahassee. You were my server at Ruby Tuesday. You were great way back then. Loved your birthing story and how you get right to the point. Congratulations on your new baby boy. Happy for you. Thank you, Trina, and shout out to Ruby Tuesday. I still say, hands down, serving at a restaurant is like one of the best gigs because you can make your own schedule when you don't feel like going to work. Somebody is always ready to pick it up. You can make cash every day. You get free or close to free food, and Ruby Tuesdays is still one of my favorite restaurants. So that's so funny that she mentioned it because I still love thinking about my Ruby Tuesday days. But thank God that Jesus saves and we came on up from the Ruby Tuesday days. So the next review came from Kelly Kaufman. She says, phenomenal, with some black hand claps in between it. 5 stars. I've recommended this podcast to so many ladies. There is something for every woman. Every episode is so well done. I love how there's no fluff. It gets right to the point. Very practical. After every episode, I'm adding to my vision board because I become that much more inspired. You rock, Alina. And I love that you share your platform with other women who are bringing straight knowledge. Wonderful. Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. Y'all are awesome. So, okay, let's talk about some things. Let's catch up. And hopefully my kids don't wake up because I was too lazy to go downstairs. Y'all know I built this house, right? And on paper, all of my levels seemed like so sexy because I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a level for myself. Prince gonna be all the way down in the basement. The kids gonna be on their level. When I tell you that I do not need a Stairmaster because I literally go up and down flights of stairs per day and I'm just over it. So I didn't go up to my normal recording space. I'm just straight here in the kitchen. So if anybody walks down here, forgive me now. So I feel like I have kind of been MIA. Like my last episode that I did by myself was literally in June. Okay, so we talking about almost a year ago, which it don't even feel like that. But that's just how crazy it's been. Honestly, the second half of 2018, it was a whirlwind. But it was like a season for me. Okay, when I tell you that 2018 like completely changed me, you know how sometimes you can like look at somebody's feed and be like, oh, she's changed, motherhood's changed her a little bit. Or I have some friends in business who are always like, you're so mature, you're so more chill now, like in terms of my leadership style, you know, it wasn't as aggressive anymore. Like there are just some seasons in life that permanently change who you are. And I think that 2018, the second half in particularly, literally changed me. You know, like I will not be the same person that I was circa 2018. Okay. Like, I think I've even heard Prince say that. Like, I will never be the same person because of all the stuff that we went through. You know, I feel like for the last, what, half a decade, 5 or 6 years, I've just been used to really just playing offense, you know? And for the first time in a while, I was in a season where I had to literally play defense mode. Shoot. I mean, I was really like riding the bench several days in that season. And a lot of times I felt like I was even out of the game. Like, there were many days where I was just like, Jesus, take the wheel, because I can't. I can't adult today. I can't do life today. Shout out to one of my besties, Melissa Butler, because she probably saw me on my worst day in 2018, where she was on some, it's going to be okay. And I was like, it is not going to be okay. Like, I was going in. You can laugh about it now, but, and I know y'all are like, okay, well, you're going to tell us all this and not tell us what happened. I'm not going to bore you with, you know, all of my 2018 woes, but I definitely will get a little transparent on some of the lessons and some of the things that I've learned in the last 6 months that I think will also be very relevant as I go into some of the things that I developed in those 6 months that I'll be rolling out in the next few episodes that I think, you know, are really evidence of God does not make mistakes. Like, there are some seasons that just are really meant for pruning so that we can really be the fruit that we were called to be. And I think that one of the things that we often forget is that, you know, when fruit is out of season, it's out of season, right? And you got to plant seeds again and regrow it. And I think that for me, I have gone through a season in my life where the fruit that I, you know, that I bore was for when it was for, you know, and it was not fruit that I could take into a new season of my life. It's like trying to eat a peach when it's not the season for peaches, right? It's the season for whatever. I'm not a fruit connoisseur, so I can't give a better example. But, you know, what I realized is that the type of person that has to show up for this next phase of my life has to get a few more war wounds, okay? And we'll talk a little bit more about why I say that. This time last year, and I have like some notes because I don't want to ramble, because you guys know that I can totally ramble. But I know if my producer Monica is listening to this, she'll be like, cut this and cut this, because you done said it 5 times. But thank God this is a bonus episode, so we're just gonna be super raw and unedited. So this time last year, I didn't have the episode exactly around this time, but this was the time of year where I found out that I was pregnant with Creed. And you know, clearly I talked about this on the episode where I think it was plans never go as planned or something like that. And I talked about how that was a whirlwind, because you guys know that I was like done after 2. And now fast forward, I can't even imagine my life without, you know, my third little push baby. But, you know, shortly after that, that whirlwind of a month of knowing, finding out that our family was expanding, you know, literally probably the day that I announced my pregnancy. So I announced my pregnancy on my birthday. So simultaneously, I was just finding out that my line sister, my front, Tamara, was having complications post-pregnancy. So she had Ryan on the 15th, the day before my birthday. And it wasn't until maybe 3 or 4 days later that I kind of found out that she was still in the hospital. And you all know that I'm already like super hypersensitive to just postpartum care, just malpractice, and just birthing while Black. And that's actually an article. Well, actually, I can't even talk about it because it hasn't come out yet for the publishing company. So scratch that. Anyways, birthing while Black, that's a whole nother topic. But you guys know that I'm there. I was already very in tune with just the maternal issues going on in the Black community because of my own experience of just feeling so slighted during my time with my doctor and my experience with Parker, etc. So when I got the text, I was just completely just blown, like, wow, like, how could this happen to her, right? How could this happen to somebody that was just so well versed in everything? And in the entire time, I kept thinking, you know, they messed with the wrong person. You know, they screwed over the wrong person. Like, when my front gets out, when she gets better, she's going to be out here crusading the streets with me, you know, fighting for Black women's rights when it comes to birth in America. Fortunately, that did not come to pass, because she passed later in July. So really what that meant for me was 2 months of probably like a very, how can I describe this? It's one of those things where, you know, it's almost like you rather know how it's going to end, right? You know how ambiguity just like kills everything. You just don't know. You're not there. You can't see. And there's a lot of uncertainty of what's going to happen, what did happen. From May to July, so for a full 2 months, it was really, you know, me daily checking in with one of my line sisters, getting updates, but really just not being able to function, you know, like not being able to really do work, not really be able to be creative, you know, just like when you're in your space and you're doing life and whatever, when you're in a period that has just completely snatched every bit of your liveliness out of you, it's just hard to do life, right? So for me, that was really one of the first times that I had experienced someone my age so close to me going through something like that. You know, of course, I had lost my grandmother the previous year. That was hard. But I was at peace because my grandmother, I knew that she had lived a great life, etc. Right? Even people that I've had, that loved ones that I've had passed because they were sick, it's almost like you're able to wrap your mind around that because, you know, they're sick and you kind of have your time with them, whatever, you get peace. But it's those tragic moments, right? It's those tragedies, like what we've all just experienced with the Nipsey Hussle death, that I think, you know, seeing someone lose a spouse, right? Watching my line sister not even be married a year, right? And to just have that experience, it just completely rocked my world. So I remember come August, I was just like, yo, I have been in a funk for a long time. Like, what is happening? Like, why do I feel like there's just this weight over me? And then one day I remember like, oh yeah, like that's what happened. That moment in my life, it just changed perspective on everything. You know, and I know that sounds like super cliche, like, oh, life is short and da 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 da. But really, you know, until something like that happens to you, you really don't have the sincerest wake up call, which I really felt like played a role in my parenting style. It played a role in my marriage, you know, and just my desire to be present. But it also played a role in me thinking about, okay, well, what's next? You know, like, what's next for me? Because people are dying every day, you know, life is so short. And I don't really feel like I'm in a place in my life where I'm growing. Like, I feel like I'm super comfortable. So literally probably within the same week, in the same week of Tamar's passing, and I had the opportunity to, you know, fly down to Houston hours before she transitioned. And literally that same week was the week that I abruptly decided to walk away from my direct sales business, which I had been running for 6 years. And, you know, it really just kind of pushed me into that decision ultimately, because I felt like I had more of a calling on my life. You know, I loved my experience in direct sales. I loved my team. I missed my team so much. You know, shout out to the Young and Free. That was like super glory days for me. But there's something about seasons that they come to an end. And sometimes you can't even explain why you're in a season, why you're experiencing this. But something about my season and the transition of my line sister made me go inward. You know, I spent a lot of days by myself grieving. And when I looked inwardly, I knew that there was something that I wanted more for myself. I couldn't completely pinpoint everything about it, but there were a lot of things that had come to pass, whether they were in dreams, whether they were written in notebooks that hadn't been expounded upon. They were already out there, and it was just ready. It was just time for me to take a leap, right? So, you know, I feel blessed now that I'm thinking about the experience and what it did for me in terms of just valuing our days, numbering our days, and getting way more intentional around what we really feel called to, because I would hate to have all this stuff on paper and never see any of it, never share it with any of you, never have anybody to pass that on, right? So I took that leap because of that perspective shift. And I decided that I wanted to move forward in really building out Alina Conley, the coaching and the consulting and the courses and the communities and all these things that I'm currently building out. And I decided to go full force into that. And then by September, things started to shift. Okay. So in your mind, you're thinking, okay, I've had this life tragedy. Things, you know, have my eyes have been open. You know, I was blind and now I can see. I'm going towards my dreams. God is going to bless me because I've gone through this. And in fact, that's not how my story played out. My story played out with, oh, okay, God is getting ready to bless you abundantly. But before you receive that, you got to really go through some more stuff. So while you're grieving and you're heartbreak and you're this and that is a moment, you got to go even deeper, because the level of self-discovery that you're going to need for this next level, the amount of lives that you are going to touch because of the things that they're going to come to you with, they're going to be heavy things that they're going to come to you with, Alina. They're going to be real things that maybe you haven't personally experienced at that time. They're going to be things that if you were still where you were for these last couple of years, super comfortable, you wouldn't even relate to some of the things that are going to come past your window. So I got to pull you deeper into this valley to really start testing you. Now, if I had it my way, y'all, I'd be like, listen, I don't really got to know that stuff in real life. Like, I can just kind of hear about it in theory and coach on it and give some pretty quotes and talk about X, Y, and Z. I'm good. Like, trust me, this death was enough. But that was not how it went down, guys. So in September, I was supposed to close on my house. Now, when I think about closing on a home, it's a life moment, a life celebration. Like, it's cards, Hallmark cards for that time, right? Happy occasions, just like childbirth, just like marriage, buying your first home. Okay, so I'm supposed to be closing on my home in September. So in my mind, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm having a baby in 2018. I'm getting ready to, you know, build this new home and have it in 2018. Everything ain't bad in 2018. It's going to balance out, right? Well, what happened was, and I've talked about this a little bit on the Male White episode, and on another video that I rolled out a couple of months ago. Excuse me, I'm just going to drink some water. I feel convicted to drink water when I'm recording because my leak drinks water when she's on her podcast and I love her. So I'm drinking water. So September comes around, supposed to close on our house, and things just do not go as planned. Literally, I would say probably a week before we're supposed to close, it just became a complete shit show. Our house didn't get appraised at the value that it was supposed to. So, of course, the bank doesn't loan you money, you know, if it's not appraising. And so, literally, the week before we're supposed to close, we had to switch lenders, which basically meant that everything that we had already gotten approved with the one lender over the last year and a half pretty much went out the window. We had to start fresh with somebody that would appraise the house for what it was worth. And it was a much tougher bank, okay? So anybody that knows, you know, what it's like to get a house, period, but even more so what it's like to get a house as a self-employed person, I mean, my God, right? So when you're going with the even stricter bank, it just became, you need this, this, and this. And it became a game of pretty much every day from September to November. Mind you, I was supposed to close in September. From September to November, I'm now in my third trimester. Every single day, maybe every other day if it was a good week, I was constantly getting some form of something basically telling me I wasn't good enough. You know, this score ain't good enough. This amount ain't good enough. This paperwork you've provided is not good enough. It was very stressful. And I know that a lot of people go through this. But for me, being in the place that I already was, you know, I just wanted to take it a day at a time. You know, it was kind of like, okay, I've provided what you need. I'm gonna move to the next day. And then the next day, you get shot down again. Then the next day, you get shot down again. Then it became a days where I had to sit on the phone with, you know, organizations to get this paperwork for hours at a time. I mean, every morning I had to wake up at 7, get on the phone with the IRS for this paperwork, sit on the phone for hours, okay? So for almost 2 months, when I'm supposed to be, you know, starting to work on my new business and my coaching and my this and my that, what am I doing? I'm sitting on hold trying to get stuff approved for my house. It was exhausting. It did not put me in a super positive place. It put me in this place of just a lot of anxiety. And a lot of the anxiety did not necessarily come from the actual home buying process, right? Because it's like, it is what it is. Like, they want what they want. The rules haven't changed. Everybody has to give X, Y, and Z. The anxiety came from the things that I did not have. Like, I like to be on top of my stuff, right? And I felt like I had put too much of my trust into these fiduciary responsibility type persons between my loan officer, you know, my accountant, any advisors. And, you know, it was like, it felt like they steered me incorrectly. And it put me in a position where everything that I had built for my family, including all of the money that I already put into my home, was not valued. And many days it felt like I was going to lose it, you know. So many days I had to have a conversation with myself like, Alina, if you do not get approved for this home, you know, what does that mean for you? Right. That's the conversation that you're constantly having. Like, okay, you know, they're saying if we don't get this, you're not going to get your house. Right. So for me, that meant, you know, losing almost 100 grand. Okay, that's how much I would probably lose just straight out. That's a lot of money, right? So you got that part of it. Then you got the ego part of it that's being affected because it's like, oh, by the way, the Conley crib is a freaking hashtag. It's a highlight on my Instagram, you know. Yeah, I could be authentic enough to come back and be like, oh, y'all, my shit didn't come through. My bad. Let's pretend like this didn't happen. And not that people would even care, but it's moments like this where you are starting to question everything. You know, I started to question, why do I even share my life? Why do I even share my story? Why was I even in a business where I had to build blah, blah, blah? You know, you start really questioning all of your decisions because you're in a position where the world is watching. And it's almost like you don't want to let people down. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you were this excellent businesswoman, and apparently you didn't keep up with your paperwork, or you didn't, you know, talk to the right person, so you weren't able to get your house and blah blah blah. And you know, that ain't nothing but the devil, y'all. But when I tell you, he comes in heavy when you're getting ready to get blessed. But those were things that were going through my head. Of course, let's not even forget that I was like super hormonal. So I mean, it was like a lot of just angry tears. I remember one time, one of the loan officers from the bank that did not approve us, she sent me a message, okay? And this was the same week that Prince and I had just gotten into a car accident, okay? I was 33 weeks pregnant, and Prince was kept in the hospital for hours because of his blood pressure. I had to stay in the hospital for hours to monitor the baby. Car was supposed to be totaled at that point. So there was some kind of slip up in some paperwork that I sent while I was on the stretcher leaving the scene of the accident, because I was actually messaging the loan officer when we were in the accident. Okay. Still sending a message out from the stretcher because, you know, every minute counts when you're closing on the house. So she comes back the next day and, you know, basically said something was incorrect. And I came back and was like, okay, yeah, you're right. This is the correct whatever. And she hit me with, you know, this is super frustrating. You know, I can't keep going. Girl, I went off in the politest way. Okay. Because first of all, you're stressed. How are you stressed? Okay. Because you just told me you just closed on your probably $1 million home 2 days ago. All right. How are you stressed when I, by the way, I have to be out of my house in less than a week. I just got in a car accident. I now have no vehicle. I have 2 kids under the age of 4. All right. I have a whole baby in my belly. I just quit my business that was supposed to be paying for this to go build a new business, which I can't work on because y'all stressing me the hell out with this house. And you gonna tell me you frustrated, sis? Listen, this home buyer life is trash. Woo. God is good. God is good. So anyways, literally back and forth on the house stuff. Okay. For 2 months. And basically I would say, October 16th is really when it really started to spiral. We got in that car accident and that just flipped our world upside down. A week after I got into the car accident, I got this crazy stomach virus. So was literally back in the same hospital room in labor and delivery for 2 days. Just uncontrollable sickness. And then the week after that, Parker was sick. Okay. And this was like on some, I don't even know what he had, but he had like a 104 temperature and didn't literally eat for like almost 5 days. Like my baby was sick, y'all. So soon as Parker's temperature gets back, he heads back to school. The school calls me and it tells me that Alicia now has a temperature of 102. The other thing that y'all gotta know that happened in between October 16th and the 31st was that we had to get out of our house because we had people moving into the house that we were living in. So we packed up our entire house and we haven't closed on our new house. We're now 30 days past closing date and we're now living in Fayetteville, which is about 35, 40 minutes outside of the city. But it means that we now have a 2 hour, maybe 4 hour on worst days commute between my mom's house and Buckhead, which is where my kids go to school. All right. So literally having to sit in Atlanta traffic to and from. And if we decided to go back home in the middle of the day, that was just, oh God, just so much added stress in just commuting. I literally have so much more respect for y'all that commute for real to work. My water, guys. Commute to work because, I mean, that right there will send you into an aneurysm. So the commute was stressful. And we had a co-working space at the time that we were able to kind of be at. But that was really just like sitting there. And mind you, I'm now about 35, 36 weeks pregnant. I want to sleep in my bed all day. Like, I don't want to be sitting in an office on the phone trying to close on the house 35 weeks pregnant. Like, I just don't want to do that, right? But that was my reality. And I'm definitely not able to focus on new initiatives and creative juices flowing and this and that and building an empire. Who told me that I was going to be able to do all of that at one time? Okay. But I wasn't thinking. That was a season that I was in, a season of trying to birth something, but a season where God said, nah, it's time for you to get pruned and go through some stuff. So Alicia gets the temperature. The school calls me, tells me to come up there. I come up to the school to get Alicia and Parker's sitting at the front desk. And I'm just like, dang, his temperature must be back. All right. Mind you, this is once I had just gotten out of the hospital myself. So I'm like, okay, both my kids sick. I'm pregnant. All right. The other thing, this is a sidebar. I'm starting to ramble now. My bad. So my mom's house at the time, I don't know. It was something in the air that I was allergic to. And literally when I would go home, I would just break out into an allergic reaction. Like literally throat closing up, eyes watering. So imagine for almost 3 months straight having to take almost 2 to 3 Benadryls per day while pregnant. Not sleeping at night because you're like about to pop. And you got 2 kids that, you know, not sleeping through the night barely because they're a new environment. Stress. Okay. And shout out to friends who end up changing the filters literally the week we were about to leave and everything was all good. I was like, bro, well, we could have did this 90 days ago. I've been dying a slow death for 90 days. Anyways, get to the school and I walk in, you know, just kind of trying to laugh it off with the front desk. Like, oh my God, Lord, what have I done? You know, because I'm like, you know, both of my kids sick. And the look on their faces were as if they had seen a ghost. And I was like, what's going on? And I just remember the lady at the front asking Parker, do you know who this is? And he was like, my mommy. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, basically, Parker pretty much fell out on the playground, had stopped breathing for at least 60 seconds. And they had just had to do like CPR on him. Okay, and I mean, they are literally looking like they have just seen the scariest thing ever. As they're asking him, you know, who is this, to see if you recognize me, the paramedics are literally running in behind me. And I'm just like realizing that they're there for my kid. So talk about, okay, come on, God, really? An accident, hospitalized for 2 days, you know, Prince found out some health conditions while in the hospital, so he's dealing with that. Then now my kid is not breathing. What did I do? What did I do? I just want to be in my house. I just want to be decorated. I just want my line sister back. Like, what did I do is the only thing that literally ran through my mind for almost 4 months straight. Like, what did I do? Like, it can't possibly get any worse, right? So Parker ends up going to the hospital, stays in the hospital overnight as they check his vitals and all this stuff. But mind you, Alicia has the 104 temperature, so she's sick. I'm still recovering, and I'm also allergic to the house. So it's me and Alicia at the home. Prince and Parker stay in the hospital overnight, right? So in my mind, I'm thinking, this is it. This is the breakthrough. Like, we've hit the valley. Like, we're going to find out some good news next week. That was in October. Okay, and as you know from my birth story, we did not close on our house until the day that Creed was born, which was December 15th, y'all. Okay, so from October to December 15th, it was weeks and weeks and weeks of more disappointing news, bad news after bad news in terms of the house. And I was just at the point where I had to figure out, you know, what does life look like now? Like, I've planned out what this will be for my family, but I will lose so much losing this house that I don't even know how I could get into another option. Like, what do? I go to an apartment? Do I move in with my mama? Do I pull my kids out of this school and move them to another area? It's just like so much stuff. And at the core of all of that, I was so scared that I was going to end up in another C-section because of my stress levels. You know, we had started doing hypnobabies. And, you know, that's why Stephanie and I were laughing about it on that episode, because she knew every week I would come to class and they'll be like, did y'all close your house? And we'd be like, nope, nope, nope. You know, and so, oh God, when I think about it, I just think about how much worse it seemed than it seems in this very moment. And that to me is nothing but grace. You know, that is to me a season that when you're in it, you feel like it's never going to end, right? I know that I shared that with many of you all on some posts during that time. And it feels like it's never going to end. And one of the things that I have to say right now is that this isn't one of those happy ending stories. Like, I am still very much in a valley right now. I am still very much in a valley right now. And I at the time, I couldn't even form my mouth to have a conversation about what I was dealing with when I was dealing with it. Like, in that conversation I had with Melissa that day, that was all over text. Because if you had me open up my mouth, I would just be a water well. That's how stressful that period was for me. I am at a point now where God has given me a gift and so many blessings and foresight into so many lessons in that season already that I can talk about things in my valley confidently, because what has come out of that experience is complete minimalism. And I think I also had a post about that. I think that when I first got rid of my truck, that was what the first time I went public around, you know, the pruning and the things that don't serve me. Y'all, when I lived with my mama for 90 days, I lived out of one suitcase for 90 days and did not miss a thing. Okay. I rocked the same 10 outfits, 7 outfits that I had packed for 90 days. And it was the least of my concerns, like the least of my concerns. So when I think about all of the clothes, all of the shoes, all of the bags, all of the stuff that I throw my money into for the last decade, what a waste. Because I lived out of a suitcase for 90 days and didn't even care. Like, didn't care, because in that moment, my clothes were the last thing that I was thinking about. My kid just fell out on the playground. Okay, he's still alive. All right. I got into my home. I have a roof over my head. Even before I got approved, right? The fact that I was able to live with my mom, the fact that my kids have this crazy bond with my mother now because they got to live with their grandmother for 90 days. You know, the relationship that me and my husband have now is so strong because we just laugh. We be like, can you even believe this? Like, even the stuff, some of the stuff we go through right now, we just laugh because it's so unreal. And what's even more unreal is that you survive it and you still feel nothing but love when you wake up. Like, when I see my kids every day, the first thing in the morning, I don't feel any kind of anxiety or worry or stress or anything that may be currently impacting my world right now. I don't feel that when I wake up. The only thing I feel when I wake up is blessed. I feel love when I look at my kids. I feel love when I look at my husband. I feel love when I get on a group chat with my friends. So I think I said this on the Mel White episode. What was interesting to me is that in this season, I lost a lot of stuff. I went through a lot of challenges with my home buying process that made me feel less than. I went through a lot of pruning, a lot of faith testing in this last season. And I've gone through a lot of grief with really just moments of like, what is the meaning of life? Like, don't get me to drinking wine, because I started texting like, y'all, what is the meaning of life? You know, like, what, why do we do this, this, and this only to have this, this, and this, right? Like, I get into these things, but, you know, what I've come to realize is that with and without many of the experiences, the day-to-day, the material things, the one thing that still exists is me. Like, it's the authentic version of myself. I think what I said on that episode was that I am not my assets. Because I think that when, especially as you start to build businesses, you start to think, oh, well, you know, people will judge me or find me my credentials, or they will validate me based on these bullet points that identify who I am, based on this resume per se. But really, when someone looks at me, or when someone, if someone's to talk to me right now on Instagram or in person or at an event, they don't know nothing about what's going on. And even if they do, that don't got nothing to do with them. It does not impact how they see me, because guess what? All they know in that moment is how I made them feel. So the things that matter most in life is who I am and how I make other people feel, and how I do that don't have anything to do with my valuables, with my credit score, with the type of house that I live in, with the type of business that I run. It has to do with who I am at my core as a person. And that was just so validating for me because it meant that things in my life will come and go, okay? Seasons will come and go, but the constant will be identifying the version that God has created me to be. And when I can identify that and truly walk in that and become that, then I show up as that person regardless of what season I'm in because of the things that I have been through. They make me value who I am and my worth that much more. Okay. So as I go into some of these episodes and roll out the stuff that I have been pouring myself into bit by bit with three whole kids and, you know, a million and one things going on, you're gonna see that. You're gonna feel that that presence of a very intentional Alina, you know, a very authentic Alina. It's almost like when you sing a song and then when you think about, oh, like I saw this, you guys have got to look this up. Dang, what is this guy's name? I think his comedian name, Mike Brown. He has this thing where he's at a seminar. He has the guy to sing Amazing Grace, and he sings Amazing Grace. He's a great singer. Then he says, you know, now sing it like, you know, your cousin just got shot. All right. You just got out of jail. You just survived three bullets yourself. And the guy starts singing Amazing Grace in a way that will just like send chills up your back. Go and Google that video. Just Google Mike Brown, Amazing Grace. And when I look at that video, that's how I look at it, right? I look at it as pre-2018, Alina was dope, right? Like I loved everything that I've done in my life. Like obviously things haven't been, you know, peachy cream. It was never supposed to be, right? But I definitely love the person that I became, you know, the things that I walked through, the things that I, you know, built in that I, what am I trying to say? The things that I built, you know, the family that I built, the person that I became. But it's something about this post 2018 version of myself that's a little more grittier. I gotta say it like that. Alina. Like, that's how I feel. Like, it was like, oh, what's up? That's Alina. And now it's like, what's up? This is Alina. This is Alina. This is like a version of myself that it just feels good because there is no reason why I should feel so good other than God's pure grace over my life. That is an amazing feeling. Like when you wake up feeling good because of no apparent earthly reason, that is a feeling that I only want to lean into more, okay? Post 2018, 2019 and beyond is a version that relates to people from a perspective that is in its purest form. And that's what you're going to be seeing in a lot of the interaction tools, community courses, and things that I'm rolling out in the next couple of days. I know y'all want to know that date, but I'm not going to do it because I'm a mom of three and dates change. So just go and turn on your notifications so you can know. So I feel like that was like a little heavy. And I'm not really getting fully into some of the details because I think what I've learned is that I'm way more transparent than most of the people in my life. And I have to protect those individuals by, you know, giving high level stuff. Because y'all know if I had it my way, I'd be like, sis, let me tell you what went down. So before I let you go, we have a few more minutes together before I hit my mark where Monica will cut me off and say that's enough. I want to just kind of update you on other areas of 2019, Alina. So, life with three. Y'all, I got three kids. What? I officially and confidently talk mom life with like no shame. Like I mean, I got three kids. I might not know it all, but baby, I can talk mom life now confidently. And if you've been following me for a while, you know that that was like something that I never felt like, oh, I can't talk about it because I'm not an expert in it. I'm not an expert in it now, but I can talk to you about it all day. Creed is a calm baby, y'all. I deserved it, right? Like, literally, my first two were like me reincarnated, and me as a child is off the wall, cartwheeling into every store. Creed is super chill. He has been sleeping through the night for 2 weeks. Oh God. I mean, sleep deprivation is a real thing. So if you are a new mom, I feel your pain. That part never gets easy. It's hard. It's probably the hardest part. Sleep deprivation never gets better. Okay. I use the EASY method, which basically is an acronym for eat, activity, sleep, and you time. Okay. And that's basically how they tell you to roll out the schedule. Go and Google it. It works. It takes probably a good 6 to 7 days to even see some kind of progress. If you have a good baby, you could probably get it done in 48 hours. I use the EASY method. Lily, my middle child, is a true middle child. She is growing up, y'all. She started toilet learning, as they call it in Montessori, aka potty training. They do it straight cold turkey. They send you a note and say, okay, Alicia is ready to toilet learn. So throw away all of your diapers, and she's going cold turkey on Monday. Send her 7 pair of underwear and 7 pair of clothes, and that's just how we're going to do it. So she's like a damn puppy, y'all, literally. we going on week two. She runs around. Sometimes she tell you she got to go. For the most part, right now, we're having to say, okay, it's time to go potty. But other times you'll find her somewhere behind the curtains, squatting and letting it loose. So that is fun times with her. She is talking up a storm. She is falling out like it's nobody's business. And she runs the entire household, like legit runs everybody in this household. And y'all know how much I pray for a girl, but thank God that Creed was a boy, because I would not have capacity, period. Parker, 4 years old, and I mean, just so smart, like full-blown conversations about adult stuff, all right? Can't curse around him anymore. Definitely took that to school. Pretty embarrassing. And my whole thing is like, it's not like you don't know it's a bad word, because when I say any kind of foul language around him, he'll say, mommy, potty word. Okay, well, if you know it's a potty word, then why are you saying it at school? Okay, let's make better choices. So that's another season that I'm in right now, is understanding and figuring out how to discipline my children. I am not against a good old school smackety smack, lippity lack, belted it up. That has not found to be super effective with my Parker, for example. Alicia, yeah, she don't really like to get popped. But Parker, you know, is short-lived once that. He'll go right back to whatever. So I'm kind of dealing with that parent anxiety of, you know, walking up to the school and wondering what the hell they're going to say about my kid today. You know, 4 days out the week, it's like Parker couldn't keep his ass to himself. So I'm actually going to be bringing somebody on to the podcast to talk about positive disciplining, because, you know, while there are a ton of different methods, I not only want to find something that works for each of my kids. Honestly, I want to find something that works for me that doesn't stress me the hell out, because disciplining my kids sometimes weighs on my spirit. Like after it's done, I'm just like, what am I doing wrong? Like, why am I failing as a parent? Like, I don't want to be yelling all day. Like, when I get to the point where I feel like I've been yelling 90% of the day, like, this ain't gonna work. This messing up my chi now. So I'm excited to get a girlfriend on here to talk us through that. Life with three is hard. Many days I envision myself. I can't even say what I envision myself because I just would have too much guilt to say that on the show because I know Prince would be like, really, you said that? But let's just say that it is not easy. And I am looking forward to the days of 3 potty trained kids and 3 kids who can be independent. And I'm excited about, you know, them as older kids. But thank God for an amazing husband, because without him, Lord knows, I wasn't made for this thing to do it by myself. I do still have help. Rosa is still here with us. She is amazing. And, you know, the scene from Sex and the City where she talks about, what does Charlotte say? I can't lose the nanny. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I will literally cut off my toe before I lose my nanny. Okay. Business is hard. You know, I have been in direct sales, which I think is to this day one of the best industries to try out entrepreneurship, because it's kind of like a business in a box. You know, like you get to kind of be behind a brand and their distribution systems and their email marketing, and you really just go and do the fun part and talk to people, right? Doing a traditional small business from scratch is a lot more work. With 3 kids, it's even more work. So a lot of stuff that I thought would be super turnkey for me in terms of my new projects have not been. And so, you know, a lot of lessons in traditional small business that is super fun and exciting. Nevertheless, still exhausting because 3 kids and 3 and 1 super little kid. But I'm feeling very blessed that I have identified a business model that I think will be, you know, very, very exciting and authentic for me in terms of how I build out my brand. So, you know, pray for me on that. Diet. This is another topic that some of y'all have been hitting me up about. I am back on keto. Keto while breastfeeding is a little different. And I have read a few articles around the safety of it. It is safe. Ketones are a naturally produced. So that's not anything that will, you know, be in your milk per se. Like your baby comes out in the stage of ketosis, in a phase of ketosis, okay, which is just basically a fasted state. However, you do need to increase your carb intake while on keto if breastfeeding to about 50 grams per day. So, I'm doing keto. I'm continuing to shed and burn fat. I'm definitely nowhere near my end goal, but Chloe's getting married soon, so definitely gonna be pulling out them body wraps. So when I get back on the gram, I'm going to, you know, of course, kind of show you guys some of the stuff that I'm cooking up. What else do I have for y'all? What I'm reading. Somebody said, what are you reading, when I asked in my group? So right now, like I said, I'm reading a lot of parenting blogs around discipline and, you know, reading. Like I'm trying to teach Parker how to read, or, you know, identify sight words. So I'm doing a lot of reading around that. I'm also rereading Seed of the Soul. I'm going to be talking a lot about that in the next episode. I'm also reading a lot around marketing. So like I said, with my business, there's a lot of stuff that I know in theory that I needed to just kind of spruce up on. So I've been taking a lot of free webinars and classes and reading a lot of blogs on some of the digital marketing trends out there. Also studying for some certifications. I think I kind of mentioned I was going to be getting into some of the childbirth education spaces. So kind of getting some education around that. Also, I am really into documentaries. Like I've always loved a good documentary, but I am like obsessing over the ones over Black folks right now. Like that Quincy Jones documentary was bomb. I just recently saw the Sam Cooke one. My God, like so good. I just finished the T.D. Jakes new Plan in the Bible app. I think he has a book coming out next week on the 15th called Crushed. if that book is anything like this plan, I think I have texted like 5 people like, yo, that TD Jakes new plan is lit. Like, first of all, who am I? Like, I'm literally texting people Bible plan apps. It's hilarious to me. Yeah, go check out that new Bible plan app. It is so on point. What else? So that's kind of what I'm reading, what I'm loving. I'm loving Converting My Home. So y'all have seen me go on rants about, you know, toxic environments, toxic cleaning products. So I am just literally overhauling everything in my house that has like bleach or ammonia, my deodorant. So like, I love the Goop podcast. I love all things Goop. Like, if I could be like the Black Goop one day, like, that would be my jam. Love everything that Gwyneth Paltrow is doing. But so she has like a lot of, like, I was just reading an article on Sunday around some of the best like natural deodorants. So I'm slowly just like, I mean, from deodorants to perfumes to detergents to, you know, just little ingredients around the home. Like, I just went to the doctor with Parker today, and they were talking about like this little like something he has on his neck, and you know, they're gonna give me medicine for it, and I'm like, no thanks. Like, I'm literally using like my essential oils and my soaps. Like, that's kind of what I'm being like super into right now. It's like all things like healthier alternatives. I'm loving like designing my kids' rooms. So that's the first kind of design project here in the home that I'm taking on. I'm going to be doing a lot of the interior design myself this time. And so I have been mapping that out. I'm loving that process. I'm loving having real relationships. So I'm actually going to do an episode on my 40 days off of social media. Okay. It's going to be called 14 years on, 40 days off. Like, isn't that a cute topic, y'all? I mean, a cute title. But basically, I've been on social media for 14 years, and I have been off for 40 days to some degree because, of course, I still had a few business things on the Reminder Remedy. But for the most part, you know, I just really wanted to get off because it was just being a productivity kill. And so in this time, one of the things that I wanted to do was, if I can't interact with people on social, I want to interact with people in real life. That doesn't mean I have to get up and go fly to see people and get, you know, go to coffee every day. But just shooting people text messages and having conversations and getting on FaceTime people has been something that I've been doing in the last couple of weeks. And it's just been super dope to like reconnect with like my people, you know, that I feel like I didn't really get to talk to or didn't make an effort to talk to for real. Cause it was like, oh, I saw you on Instagram yesterday. Now that I don't see people, I have to like remember like birthdays and anniversaries and random stuff in real life. And that's been like super dope. What else am I loving? Oh, I'm loving this company called Perfect Keto. So I'll get to show you guys a little bit more when I get online. But, you know, keto is always hard to transition into, especially in the beginning. And so having like little keto snacks and like keto supplements is a great way to transition. So I started using these products from a company called Perfect Keto, and I love them, and I've been getting some really great results with them. And so definitely check them out, perfectketo.com. You can use my code Alina Keto for 15% off any of their products. I just joined a new small group at church, so I'm excited about that. It's actually a very interesting dynamic. I'm the only Black person there. That's the first for my small groups. And because I go to a really diverse church, so I'm the only Black girl. I'm the youngest for sure. I think everyone is over the age of 40. There are multiple over the age of 60 white women. So it's a journey through the Bible. Today was the first day. I'm very excited about it. And I'm just really, really intrigued to see how this is going to roll out, because I have never been in a room of this dynamic in such an intimate space talking about the Lord. So I'm very excited to see what these women are going to be talking about. Okay. I'm loving that right now. What else am I loving? I wrote down some stuff. Oh, concrete rose candles. So I have a girlfriend who Toya sent me some stuff. Y'all, this candle line is bomb. I'm going to have her come on the podcast and talk about her business. So look out for that. Still loving my new Atlas. It is hands down the best car for people that have more than three kids, y'all. Like, it's so spacious. This weekend, we have my in-laws in town. All three kids was on the back row. My in-laws were in the back row. They had so much leg room in the back. I still had leg room in the front. We still had the stroller. It is amazing. And I'm no kind of affiliate to Volkswagen, but I know many of y'all still be texting me about that car. So, yes, I'm still loving the Atlas. Another thing that I'm loving right now, which I feel like I'm kind of late to the party, is that I love the Jesus and Jollof podcast with Yvonne and what's the girl's name? Dang, I'm being real shady right now. Lovey. My bad. Lovey. So with Yvonne and Lovey, Jesus and Jollof, it's basically like a podcast about like spirituality, Christianity, and growing up Nigerian and just adulting. So I just find their personalities very similar to my own. I feel like we could be friends. So if you know them, tell them, let's hang. But I like legit be dying. So one of my close friends, Ame, is Nigerian. And so when I listen to them, they remind me of how like she jokes about some of the things that she experienced growing up, you know, American Nigerian. But they just be talking about stuff that is so relatable. Like that episode about home buying, when I tell you that shit hit home, okay? And they were talking about all like therapy, episode on therapy. Y'all know I'm like number one advocate, but hilarity the whole episode. So I'm like really love it. Every time I see the notification pop up that there's a new episode, I'm like, yes, let me go get in the car so I can laugh. So yeah, that's a update, you know. And next week we got some good stuff coming for you guys. And I'm excited to be able to continue to roll out some thought-provoking things that are ultimately just created and put out there through this podcast so you guys can have shifts in your life in the same way that I have. And so I just really bring to you the things that I have used as tool and repurpose them through my own spiritual guidance on how it could serve you better, or at all. And so that's kind of what you can expect in the next couple of episodes, is getting into it. Let's get it. And then I'm going to be rolling out my Getting Unstuck guy officially on that episode. So that'll kind of be the bonus after you go through the lesson. So go ahead and set your alarms, or make sure you subscribe. And I'm out. I'm headed to Mexico. I'm headed to Cabo. Let's go.